Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jake Volnick back with you guys here on Overtime. Coming up here in about an hour's time, we're going to get a grip as we always do. But right now, let's take this chance to head out to the fan hotline. Talk to our good friend over there at Cleveland.com. Joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. It's Lance Risland, Coach Riz. Lance, what's going on?
Not much, Jake. What's going on with you, buddy?
Well, Lance, I feel like for the first time, just a little bit, I have an ounce of hope, even after watching Shador play, I don't know, about as poorly as a quarterback could in his debut, going 4-for-16. Like, the numbers will tell you, the eye test told you it wasn't great. But I don't know, even something about the last drive, it did something for me just to have a little excitement.
Well, you know, and here's the thing about the quarterback position. It will always be, in the nature of football, it's a position that gets way too much credit, way too much blame. And, you know, I have ad nauseum told people, you know, this week that, you know, I want him to be successful. And I hope he's kind of built to where he's impactful. And if I had one thing to say about Dylan, I'm not on board with him playing as poorly as people thought, but I am on board with him not being as impactful as I thought he'd be. So sometimes a switch is necessary. It doesn't mean it's all on the quarterback, but to get results out of other positions on the offense, sometimes a change needs to be made. And like I said, I'm a quarterback guy. I like quarterbacks to play well. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do with a couple days of practice and see if he's ready to go here.
Yeah, no doubt. Lance, obviously, I just want to look at his debut for a second because I mentioned to you it was bad. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat it. But we look at the final drive. I want to know what you saw in that final drive as someone that likes to look at the quarterback, sees the intricacies of that position. I mean, like I said, it inspired a little hope for me. But break down what you saw. Were you impressed? Were you not impressed?
Well, you know, they did some very simple concepts with him. He's very good at those high lows, both on the to the outside the numbers and then in between the hashes. So the thing I liked about his throw to Fannin that everybody talks about, first of all, it was a really good throw. It was 26 yards in the air, really good strike to Fannin. He had that open in the first drive when he checked the ball down in Njoku. So it was good to see a little bit of growth there. They also changed to move the pocket a little bit. He threw a nice shot on the smash, which is a high low again to the outside. And then he used his feet to scramble one time. So that's that kind of that gamer mentality that he has. It'll be interesting because, you know, this is a league where they take away what you do. And this is a league where these guys, this is their job every day from, you know, getting up to when they go to bed. So they're going to take away some of those easy throws. They're going to probably bracket some of those and robber some of those middle throws. So he's going to, just like every other quarterback, he's going to have to make some adjustments. I really think those first 15 plays are crucial for him. But, you know, once again, I think it's, you know, it's just like in that game, I thought he did a nice job. I thought his poise was really good. He threw some really bad balls. And once again, as I stated with Dylan, you know, you're going to have to go through the highs and lows with these guys. And you're going to have to, I always say, try not to get too high or too low. Because my history with working with football and being involved in football over 40 years, when the supporting cast isn't elite around a young quarterback, usually you're going to have lots of highs and lows during that game.
Okay, Lance, so, I mean, obviously supporting cast a big thing. Obviously something else people highlighted was the lack of first-team reps. Didn't take any basically throughout the entirety of the start of the year. Obviously, while Dylan was a starter, they were handing those to him as another rookie quarterback, but even before then didn't take them. How much of a difference do you feel that those reps actually make? Just 1 week of them, you get basically three practices to go through and have them.
Well, the first thing I will say is that, you know, one thing I've learned about the NFL, and it's all levels of football, it's football is not fair. And there's many a quarterback that has gone in there and done poorly, worse than he has, and a lot better than he has with the same similar kind of limited rep situation. I think he's done a great job. I think he understands what he's doing. He just needs to see some live action, and that's kind of what I saw. I think he'll be fine. But I do think the reps will help him. I think it'll help him with the timing, obviously being out there with those guys. You know, during camp, I saw him throw to all those guys, maybe not during, you know, team sessions, but, you know, he has a lot of banked throws with Judy and Fannin and Njoku and all those guys. So I think he'll be pretty good. You know, I think he'll be okay there, but, you know, the game of football is all about taking the opportunity when it's presented to you. And last week he didn't do that, and hopefully this week he does. And the thing I would tell people is, you know, hopefully if you're a Browns fan, you're looking for good quarterback play. And wherever they can get that good quarterback play from, if it's Dylan, if it's Shador, then that would be encouraging, you know, because I think, you know, the idea of I told you so either way is going to kind of be the narrative after the game. Yeah. But I think, once again, he's going to do a lot of good things because he's a really good player. And he's going to do some bad things because he's a rookie and the speed of the game is just different at the NFL level.
Okay, Lance, so how do we go through this Sunday and how do we evaluate Shador? Like, give me the tool that you'll use that is the biggest determining factor. Some people are going to point to stats, and we're going to have across the board. Some people are going to say it's the most important thing to see the eye test. What are you actually using to determine whether or not Shador played a good game of football or not?
Well, you know, it's very similar. That's a good thing about kind of how I look through is that I'm grading and doing things the same way. And I won't say grading because, you know, I make as many mistakes as everybody else, but I'm analyzing the same way regardless of what quarterback it is. And you want to see him, first of all, his footwork get be much improved because that's really hurting him when he drifts and goes backward, not only with sacks, but just the ability to transfer his weight forward. So that would be the first thing I'm looking for. Secondly, is he going to the right spot? I think he has really good accuracy and anticipation. Is he going to the right spot? You know, on that interception, he should have taken the under, even though he's under tremendous pressure. You know, that happens in the NFL. Hopefully he learns that, you know, never pass up a free meal. If they give you something underneath, take it. You know, and obviously you want to see him take a couple shots. I think you'll see that, even though, you know, he threw that shot to Larvidan, that probably wasn't his primary, but he's a guy who likes to take risks and he's a guy, you know, he's a gunslinger. So, you're going to have to tie that into it as well. So as we're Dylan, it's going to be much more important that he's high level, completions, super accurate because he's not pushing the ball downfield. Shador maybe doesn't need that because he's going to push the ball downfield, which means more big plays. It also means more interceptions and bad things. So, for me, it's, you know, footwork. Does he go to the right spot? I think that, you know, he already showed the game's not too big for him. It's not too fast for him. He's just going to have to, you know, kind of earn those reps, keep moving forward, not get too high or too low. And really, does he have command? Does he know where he's going? Does he understand what's going on around him? Does he understand what fronts and blitzes and coverages he's seen? And you'll see that in his footwork and you'll see that in his poise and his ability to get through his progression. So, that's kind of what I'm looking for. Just kind of, and once again, it's the same thing I have for all quarterbacks. And I'm interested to see how he does because he's a guy that he seems to be pretty good when the lights are on. So I'm looking forward to see, you know, it's his show and we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Lance Rise from Cleveland.com with this here on the Fan Hotline. Lance, do you feel like, we heard Mary Kay say earlier this week that she feels like Shador maybe needs to, and this is paraphrasing, it's not a direct quote, but essentially tune it down a little bit. Like, he doesn't need to be legendary in this game. He just needs to dump things down, make it simple, and make the correct reads. Do you have that same feeling, or is this a game where you kind of let Shador go out and, in a lot of ways, be himself, take those risks, and make those mistakes?
No, I'm with Mary Kay on this one, and here's why. It may be a little different reason, but for me, the priority still has to be winning. And just like I go back to the Dolphins game when I thought Dylan did enough to win. So if it's, you know, and he didn't get enough credit for it. So if Shador can go out there and get a win, I don't really care what his stats are. Did he go to the right spot? Did he make some good throws? But if they won, that's something you build on. And so for me, the reason he should check it down and not take too many risks is because if they can get 7 to 10 to 14 points on those, you know, those script plays, which I think are going to be so vital for him, that's going to be enough against this offense, against this Browns defense. So once again, the priority has to be winning football games. And if you're going to win this football game, it might be a game where he hands it off a bunch because they can't stop the run. And that's okay, because that's what winning quarterbacks do. They, whatever's working that day, you know, there'll come a time where, you know, it seems there always comes a time when a quarterback has to carry the team. We'll see when that happens. But for a quarterback, the only thing that can happen when you have a game like this is you make more mistakes. So we'll see what happens. But I think if, you know, if he's solid and they win the game, that's much more important to me than anything else. You know, footwork, all that stuff we'll look at on film. But the bottom line is, Jake, you got to win football games. And that's something the quarterbacks have not been able to do lately. So that's going to be my number one thing I'm looking at. Do they win the game? And then you work backwards.
All right, Lance, I like that you bring up the win, because one of the things that I highlighted was obviously we see Dylan back on the practice field today, although still not clearing concussion protocol, so he's out for Sunday's game against the Raiders. But if you get a win out of Shedeur Sanders, if he just goes through and leads a team to win, whatever it looks like, as a coach, take me through that mindset. Is that enough to keep Shedeur on the field and not go back to Dylan the following week?
Well, you know, that's going to be interesting because, you know, we don't know what's going on in meetings. We don't know what the level of a knowledge and understanding, not that he can get, but what they've given him. So obviously you want to make sure he's out there with a full allotment of routes and things he can do to have success. So it'd kind of be like, you know, I think was the temperament of the team. What is the, you know, what does the operation look like? All those things tie into it. But, you know, my thing has always been winning. So I will say this, it seems like they have a plan built in. So I would, if he was to win, I would go back to Dylan, but I would definitely be okay with Shedeur being back in there. If you're going to continue to build and give him more and more opportunities to throw more routes, more combinations, more five-man routes where he's getting everybody out, things like that. So that's going to be a tough call. But if you're winning and winning is the number one priority, then, you know, you have to, that has to tie into it as well. Obviously if he plays terrible and they win, in spite of him, then you know, maybe it's not the case, but I think he's going to play well. I think this is a good game for him to start. You know, the idea of, you know, you go into a game saying, oh, this is a team they got to, you know, it's going to be a good game. It's got, these are NFL teams. These are all really good teams. Some are better than others, but these are still NFL. And, you know, I absolutely know this team is not very good they're playing. However, those are high-level guys that are playing at full speed, so he's going to have to play well for them to win. And then that'll be an interesting topic. You know, I could see it going either way. For me, it's whatever Kevin Stefanski has, whatever he has built into his system, and whatever he thinks is right, that's what you go with. That's who you hired. That's who your guy is. And then you kind of live with it. And that's why guys get hired to get fired in the NFL, because those are tough decisions you got to make, and a lot of times you don't make the right one.
Coach Riz, Lance Risen with us here. Lance, let's take a more holistic view then. Raiders defense, you mentioned the team as a whole not that great. The defense also not that great. Max Crosby on the other side, but aside from that, not much. What do the Browns need to do, both the Browns and Shedeur, to be successful in this game?
Well, they got to get the vertical run game going, because if they can get it, you know, as I said, with all young quarterbacks, if you can get it to second five, this is going to sound very similar to Dylan's first start. Mm-hmm. If you can get it to second five, Shedeur will have much more confidence. And once again, if you're in run or pass situations, so if it's second and five, that defense has to play honest to both. That prevents that defensive line from pinning their ear back and getting after Shedeur, because he seems to struggle a little bit with that pressure right in his face. So, for me, that run game is really, really important. And the Raiders, they're pretty good at pass rushing, but even Max Crosby, the guy, Kuntz inside, those guys inside, they get moved off the ball. Last week was one of the poorest defensive line breakdowns that I've had in a while. So Brown's got to get with the run, establish the run, and then if they can establish a run, then you start getting those safeties down the box. Maybe you get some of those stretch plays, some of those chunk plays that, you know, the Browns have been looking for, because that's what Shedeur does very well. He throws a fantastic deep ball. So, once again, just like for all young quarterbacks, but especially in this type of offense where you're basing everything on the run, they got to get that vertical run game going so they can set up play action and set up some shot plays with more people in the box.
Lance, how much extra does this team need to do in pass protection? Obviously, the Ravens brought a ton of pressure. You mentioned that definitely caused problems in Shedeur's debut. Hey, what are you doing in this game to help alleviate some of that pressure? Is it quick throws? Is it, you know, throwing chips from tight ends and running backs? What is it?
Well, yeah, and you said it right best. So early downs, if you want to throw the ball, maybe you work some quick screens, some three-step where you're running hitches and slants, and then you run your double moves off those, the hitch and go, the sluggo. But what they really got to do that I think will help him, he's pretty good in the pocket. He's pretty good off play action as well. So if you can get the run going, again, what limits like a Max Crosby is run at him with a 300-pounder, Cam Robinson, those guys who are struggling in pass protection, you know, throw some body punches in there. And when you heard all summer those guys up front say marrying the run with the pass, and basically what that means is that when they line up, that defensive lineman, he's reading what the offensive lineman does instead of just saying, I'm coming after the quarterback. Because if you're at second and five, now he has to play the run. He has to play the pass. That's your best way to stop, you know, those guys from getting home is preventing second, third and longs and making them be honest to the run game, because then they have to play the run game. That's when the Browns pass protect pretty well, because those defensive linemen are worried about taking on double teams and thing, you know, getting hooked on pin and pull and kicked out on counter and power. So they got to get the run game going to slow those guys down. And that more than anything, you know, the chips and all that stuff, but the run game will prevent them from playing with their hair on fire.
All right, Lance, let's look at the Raiders offense here quickly. Line has not been good. Obviously, the Browns front has been really good. No Alex Wright this week. Should this front for the Browns look unstoppable against this Raiders offensive line?
Absolutely. You know, their tackles have really, really struggled. They do a nice job of getting the ball out of Geno's hands. So their run game has struggled really bad. And people have talked about Genty, but he hasn't had any blocking. He's had some of the best. I've watched six games now. He's had some of the best 4-yard runs I've ever seen, because he's getting hit behind the line of scrimmage on almost every play. I'll tell you what they do very well that worries me a little bit, just because the Browns have struggled in recent years. Bowers and Mayer, their tight ends, are really good players. They're good in line and out. Bowers is a matchup nightmare, kind of like you want with Njoku, but I even think he's at a higher level, especially when he's split out wide. He runs receiver routes, and he's a big body guy, so especially down the red zone. Mayer's another guy, 260, 270, can block in line, so they can get in that 12 personnel and kind of dictate what the Browns are doing. But besides that, you know, they got rid of some of their guys. Trey Tucker's a guy who's really got some speed. Besides that, they're just very, very average. Beck's a kid out of TCU I liked. You know, and like I said, Genty's not going to run the ball very well, but he's not very good in pass protection. So I would bring a +1 blitz all the time and make him pass protect, so he can't. You know, if you think about checkdowns, the way you take away checkdowns is to bring a guy. And I remember my dad used to always say, if it's a guy, we don't want the ball in his hands. We're bringing a guy, so he has to block him. So I look for the Browns to consistently bring five to make sure that he stays in and pass protects more than getting out on his checkdowns, because he's pretty dynamic with the ball in space.
All right, Lance, last one here for you, about 30 seconds. Jerry Jeudy's obviously sit down with the media. It lasted about a minute and a half. I was giving very short answers. Is this something that, you know, you just look at it and you brush off, might just be a bad day for a guy? Or is this one that has you keeping a little bit of a closer eye on Jerry Jeudy come Sunday?
Well, you want to keep an eye on it. He's the kind of guy, I've said it for a while, right? You got to get him early touches. That can seem to get his mentality and his personality kind of going in a positive direction. So I look for them to get some early touches. He does seem a little disgruntled, and you want to see his effort, especially when the ball's not in his hands on Sunday. This is, you know, you hope this is not what's, you know, coming forward from him if he's not touching the ball. But yeah, I'd get him some early touches. He's the best you got on offense right now. Make sure he gets early touches and get him happy. Deal with the other part of it in the offseason. You got to get this guy some touches in space.
All right, Lance, love it as always. Appreciate you setting aside the time. Look forward to seeing and hearing from you coming up here on Sunday. You'll be with JP, obviously. Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show, 1 p.m. this week with the Browns playing at 4. Look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely, buddy. We'll see you on Sunday.
No doubt. Lance Reisen, Cleveland.com, with us there on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to some what he had to say as well. How are you evaluating Shedeur Sanders come Sunday's game? 216-474-0092. We get into it in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on the Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. Just got done talking to Lance Reisen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Over at Cleveland.com. Obviously, really good stuff out of Lance. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind feature 92.3thefan.com. You can go back. You can listen. Lance had some really good stuff all on Shador. What to expect this week and a preview of Browns Raiders. A couple of places the Browns can gain an advantage. A couple of places where maybe the Browns need to step up and be better this week. But I do think that the interesting thing, especially when talking to Lance, obviously a former quarterback himself, and Lance also, you know, deep dives into that position and likes to look at the small intricacies, things you do well, does a lot of, you know, looking at footwork and breaking down plays on the all 22, making sure you make the right read. And those are some of the key things that Lance had actually highlighted as, hey, if I'm going to evaluate how Shador did, I'm going to look at the footwork. As the pocket breaks down, how does the footwork, you know, actually be handled? Is he looking to the right place? Is he making the right reads on, you know, just simple play calls where you have to make the read? It's where it gets interesting because obviously, like, Lance has got a better understanding than I do, or I'm sure a lot of people do, at what we're looking at the quarterback spot. I got a bad feeling that Sunday's going to turn into, or I guess, you know, Sunday night into Monday is going to turn into, a lot of people going back and look at the box score and say, well, Shador only completed, you know, X percent of his passes. That's not good. Or he only threw for this many yards or this many touchdowns, or he threw an interception or two interceptions. It's not a good. I don't think that it comes down to sitting here and box score watching for Shador Sanders. You're not going to learn anything about really any rookie quarterback. Like, this goes back to Dylan Gabriel, too. Obviously, we can look into the deep stats. Completion percentage is obviously one that struggles, and that's a big one for Dylan. Even Lance pointed that out, that, hey, if you're not going to stretch the ball down the field, completion percentage has to look good, and Dylan's sitting at about 59% right now. Not good enough. But I think you look at Shador, and another thing Lance pointed out, like, completion percentage isn't going to tell the whole story because you're going to take bigger shots down the field. You're going to try to extend it. Yes, completion percentage always to some degree matters a little bit, but it's just not everything. You're going to see, you know, again, the intricacies with Dylan Gabriel. Average depth of target was nowhere to be found. I mean, it's one of the lowest in the NFL, if not the lowest in the NFL among guys actually qualified this year, where you just don't press the ball down the field. It feels like everything is a short dump off, and it's like you're not making great reads. You're not acting like a great quarterback. I think so much more of evaluating Shador should come down to the eye test. Like, there's not going to be a stat, more likely than not, that is going to tell the true story on what this game looks like. And by the way, that goes in both directions. That's not just me essentially sitting here and cherry picking the idea that Shador, you know, the stats will look bad, but Shador can look good. Think the other way. Like, there's a real chance that Shador could walk away with his 75% completion percentage and 200 yards. Probably not that. But, like, he could walk away with a 75% completion percentage and also not play a great game of football. Like, he could turn, you know, the Browns could turn him into a check down Charlie the way that they did with Joe Flacco. And you could see him, you know, fail to push the ball down the field. And that's not going to be a good outing because He does have to live within himself a little bit. You have to play to your strengths, which with Shador is going to be taking some shots down the field, fitting a ball into a few windows, taking risks and throwing a couple of 50-50 balls. These are things that Shador does well. So you're going to have to go back and, again, look at things that go beyond the box score. It's not going to tell the entire story either way. I think it is an eye test. Like, you're going to look and you're going to either see, hey, even though the stats don't tell it, there was something there. Like, I felt that as I was watching through the tape and as I watched the game, it felt like there were big plays available. It felt like Shador was making the right reads. And, you know, maybe he missed a couple of throws, but at least he's taking the chances and he's not putting the ball into harm's way. But does he look like a quarterback that could continue to play in the NFL with some development? Again, like, stats don't tell everything. To some degree, watching the game, like, as you walk away from it, if he has more interceptions than touchdowns, doesn't necessarily tell everything. He's not expected to look like Tom Brady. He's not expected to go out there and look like Patrick Mahomes. He's supposed to go out there and he's a fifth-round pick at the end of the day. Again, don't think he's a fifth-round talent, but he's a fifth-round pick. Browns have labeled him as a developmental piece. There's a good chance that, yeah, Shador's going to turn the ball over. It's a good chance that the completion percentage doesn't look the way that it did in college. Again, it doesn't boil down to that being just a bad start, though. You go back and look at Josh Allen's first year, and I think it's the biggest glaring example. Why did anybody draft Josh Allen? It wasn't because of computer-like processing speed, and it wasn't because Josh constantly made the right decisions. It's because that dude's got a hell of an arm, and the highlight plays are there. And if you can coach out some of the bad stuff and, you know, put him up against better competition, because God forbid, I mean, the guy did play at Wyoming the same way that, yes, Shador did play at Colorado, better competition than Wyoming, but not great competition. It's not good. So, like, yeah, there's going to be things you have to learn, but Josh Allen's first year was, I mean, statistically abysmal. Most people probably would have taken the first year of Josh Allen and just written him off and never played him again. He played in 12 games, completed less than 53% of his passes, threw for 10 touchdowns and 12 picks. But, and I'm not going to act like this is just, you know, you throw it out the window and you just take a look at Josh and it's like, ah, well, he's a first-round pick. But, yes, he was a first-round pick, so the team committed more to him. They said, okay, we're not going to base everything off the first season that we just saw. We have capital invested into this. We probably should wait and see this thing through. And by year three, seeing it through actually panned out and worked out for you. Even in year two, I mean, through 20 touchdowns and 9 picks, not like the Bills were lighting the world on fire, but he had a much better season. I think the stats might not tell a story. You are going to have to see it with your own two eyes. You will know what potential franchise quarterback looks like. If Shador's just constantly running himself into pressure and not making the right reads and speeding up with every single blitz that's there, and also not putting on a ton of the plays that you saw on the final drive, yeah, it's not going to be worth it. Again, there is a balance of power to this. It does have to come down to, is Shador, you know, capable of making those plays? Which I think just about everybody has to sit here and agree, yes, we've seen it happen. We saw it happen on the last drive. But are those plays showing through enough? Right? It can't be in... If you go back and look at the Ravens game, he had one drive, right? Several opportunities the entire second half, but had one drive that we all point to. That's not good enough. You can't have two drives in this game that look really good and the rest of it look like stank. That's not going to be showing me that it's there. It's going to show me that it's buried under a heap of problems. Browns shouldn't be in the business of trying to figure out a quarterback with a heap of problems. Not with the draft picks that you're going to have, not with quarterbacks coming open on the free market and a bunch of capital to throw away, either drafting or if you really had to make a trade and that was something you wanted to do, wouldn't be my choice, but it is something that's on the table. You could move that and go get a quarterback. You do have to take that all into account. But if it feels like he's making those plays or coming close to making those plays with good reads with regularity, yeah, I'm going to tell you that it probably feels worth it. If it's not, you know, a four interception day and Shador just doesn't look like he knows what he's doing, there's a chance that it might look worth it. It's not a guarantee, but there's definitely a chance here. 216-474-0092. What will be the best way to evaluate a Shador Sanders start against the Raiders on Sunday? Let's go out to the phones. Courtney is in Bedford. What's going on, Courtney?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Just real quick, just earlier, like you said, Shador toned it down. I think he should play smart, but play his game and let the chips fall where they may. But my biggest thing is the development of the offense around him, the players, the development of the players. It was a couple of plays that you see on a couple of the blitzes that the receiver's not reading it right and having a hot route where they will break off their route and bail him out. Don't get me wrong. Shadur got a lot of work to do. He's a rookie, but at the same time, a lot of development. If you look at our defense, you got guys who are getting extensions because of the development. They continue to grow. They continue to get better. The defense getting better. That's why we wanted the best. But the offense is not keeping up. So what's up with the coaches? What's up with the personnel who's picking these players? So I think that the development of the players, of the offense, and the coaches on the offensive side is what's really holding us back. And if they don't get that together, I don't think no one be successful at the quarterback spot. And also, shout out to the guy who answered the phone, man. He's awesome, man. He loves his job, you can tell. And I just want to show him some love also.
No doubt, Courtney. We love us, James Bridges. We definitely do. And I appreciate you making the call. I think for a lot of that, obviously, like, developmental things on the offense have not been good. And obviously, like, the breakdown of it, Lance had said this as well, not in this interview, but he said it multiple times over the week, and he said it last week. Like, if there is a rookie quarterback who comes out here and looks like the greatest quarterback on planet Earth, like, I'm saying this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, you might as well hand that guy an extension. Because if you look good with this offense, if you look great with this offense, then you truly might be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Because this offense is just bad. Like, there is no wide receiver one. The offensive line play has been bad. You do have a good running back room, but that's really all you're hanging your hat on right now. If you find success with this, you're going to be just perfectly fine. So it's another way of, like, again, I don't think the stats tell the whole story. I think you do have to look at this in with, you know, a little bit of, I guess, just a closer lens to what's actually happening. Again, like, I think that we've already started to do this, and maybe part of it is, you know, Shador bias coming through. But you look at the throw to Gage Larvidan, it's an incompletion. Like, there was nothing great about the result of that play. Shador made a nice throw, and it was broken up because Larvidan was covered. But you see the play made. You see the idea in the head, and you go, if Shador made that throw every single time and completed zero passes, but made that perfect of a throw every time, and the defense was just blanketed on your receiver, you kind of live with that because it's a beautiful ball, and it's showing you there's something there. Again, stats don't tell the whole story. 216-474-0092. What should be the way that Shador Sanders is evaluated in his start on Sunday as well? What ends up being one of the biggest storylines down the stretch of the season. Quarterback could be around the corner in 2026. Is there something Shador can actually do to stop the Browns from making that pick next year? Again, 216-474-0092. We get into it here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carmen Show with Andy Lima from 6 to 10 a.m. and Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin from 2 to 7 p.m. live each and every weekday on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. Subscribe to our channel for free and watch all the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan live and on demand now. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Make sure if you're tuned, you're staying tuned to 9 o'clock. Some really cool Cleveland Charge stuff coming up there. But we are asking right now, 216-474-0092, what is the best way to evaluate Shador Sanders in his start on Sunday? Again, I'm telling you right now, I feel like it's the eye test. I feel like you don't want to dig into the stats thing. Brought up Josh Allen and everything that goes into it. But it just feels the way that's going to go. We're going to talk about the draft here coming in a minute, but I do want to go out to the phones. Let's go to Stella's in Cleveland. What's going on, Stella?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on? What do you got?
I am hoping that Shador gets the ball out like he wants to, and I hope that his premier showing, once he gets settled into the game, that he's going to prove everybody wrong in the ones that are in the office there that's had him handcuffed for so long. So I think the guys, his teammates will rally behind him and pull up, and I think it's going to happen for us this week.
I'm really hoping for the same thing, Stella, and I appreciate you making the call. I mean, listen, if there's one thing I'm confident in with Shador, it's that teammates should rally behind him. Like, we've heard over and over and over again, he's just a natural-born leader, and he does always have the support of his teammates, like, that he's just had that. So I do think that part will be there, just whether or not the play on the field translates. I mean, obviously, you know, Browns fans should all be hoping for the best, but it's what we sit here and we wait. Again, the big storyline from this entire back half of the season comes to whether or not Shador can actually do enough to stave off the Browns drafting a quarterback in this 2026 class. One thing that I've pointed to is the fact that really, you're looking at three candidates in the first round. As of right now, I don't expect much of that to change. Not like I think Lenore Sellers is jumping back up into the first round, or Cade Klubnik, or certainly Arch Manning is not jumping back up into the first round right now and is almost certainly going back to college. Like, you have Dante Moore, you have Fernando Mendoza, and you have Ty Simpson. At least two of those guys could not come back, right? Or could not declare for the draft. They could go back to college. So a lot of that goes into this, but I do think Shador's play actually matters here. I do think that it makes a difference. Contrary to John Fana on earlier this week with Nick and JP back on Wednesday, and had a very opposite thought to what Shador can actually accomplish in this short time.
There's nothing that Shador can do. He'd have to get to a level that even his biggest fans, I think, would be surprised by. You know, never say never, but I would say no. There's nothing that Shador Sanders is going to do in the coming weeks that will keep the Browns from doing what they need to do, and that is draft a quarterback and continue to try to draft quarterbacks until they nail their quarterback selection. Here's the other thing. When you've had 42 starting quarterbacks since 1999, like, he's going to have to be at a level that we haven't seen from a kid his age, from a guy his age at the position. And logic tells me that's just not going to happen. So, and it's not even a knock against him. This roster's terrible on offense.
So this is where I think that John has it all wrong. Like, we have this thought process in our heads that Shador needs to go out and look like the best quarterback on the planet, when in reality, this is what we've done every single time we've drafted a quarterback. We go out and you go, this guy's got to look like a franchise guy. He's got to look like the guy that can do it. And then as soon as he doesn't look like the guy that can do it in 1 year, you move off of him and you move on. And I'm not acting like, you know, the Brady Quinns of the world moved on elsewhere, you know, inside the NFL and all of a sudden had a tremendous career. So one guy you point to at that is Baker right now. And even he had to go through a couple of pit stops before he got to Tampa and looks the way that he does right now. And Baker looked good here. Like, there were people fighting for Baker to still be here. So that's a different story. Like, it feels like with quarterback, everybody wants the instant gratification. You want that guy to come out of the gates and look the way that, you know, very few quarterbacks have. Caleb Williams looks really good right now. He's in year three of being a quarterback. First 2 years, didn't go so hot. A lot of that probably had to do with the coaches and the staff that he was with. But didn't go so hot. Didn't look great. But right now, looks like, you know, if you're the Chicago Bears, you're not mad that you drafted Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. Might have felt that way a little bit after year one, but certainly not right now. You don't feel that way. Because you give your quarterback a little bit of time to sit there and develop. And this isn't me telling you that it has to be Shador. And no matter what Shador looks like, even if it's bad, you got to give him time to develop. Use a fifth round pick on him. If you don't think the talent's there and you don't think it's worth holding on to, so be it. You burned a fifth round pick. A lot of fifth round picks in the Andrew Berry, you know, regime here, and a lot of picks in pre-Andrew Berry regimes that are drafted in the fifth round and just across the NFL don't pan out, and NFL teams make it work every single day and they go on and they live. But the reality is, like, if Shador goes out there and plays well, I don't know what else you really need to see. Now, I mean, if you're sitting in like the third draft spot and the first two picks don't end up being quarterback, or the quarterback that you had touted as the best quarterback in the class falls to you at number three, take the quarterback. Like, unless Shador looks undeniable, take the quarterback. But if Shador comes out and looks good, and we get more of a, you know, as I mentioned earlier on, like a Josh Allen type of a result where, yeah, stats don't look that great, but you do see the underlying things that you want to wait it out. If the quarterback doesn't fall into your lap, why am I going out and burning first round capital on a quarterback? Like, you don't need to just go make a pick to force a pick and go make it. How many times have the Browns drafted a quarterback, even when was it their best quarterback on the board? Was it the guy that they, you know, touted very highly and they weren't in love with that guy? Feels like a lot. So why are you going to go through and make that decision again? Again, let's say Fernando Mendoza is your top quarterback on the board come April. You have the third pick. Mendoza falls to three. Yeah, take Mendoza. If he's the number one guy on your board, yeah, go through and make that pick. Shador wasn't the number one guy on your board in a quarterback class that was, you know, basically bare of talent. So if you find the number one quarterback there, sure. But if I'm sitting here thinking, well, Shador played pretty well, and I move forward with the idea that, hey, maybe, you know, this thing could work with Shador, but I'm going to force, you know, Dante Moore, even though he was the third quarterback I had, but that's just because that's who fell to me with the sixth overall pick. No, that is the dumbest possible thing that you can do. Don't force your hand with a quarterback. Again, if you fall in love with the guy and he's there, I'm not going to have much of an argument unless Shador goes out there and lights up the world and all of a sudden looks like, you know, a different style, but basically same result as like Brock Purdy in his rookie year. That's the type of performance that makes you not draft a quarterback. But looking at the 2026 class, 2026 class is not what it was once labeled. All of the guys who people thought were going to be great didn't show it this year and have been pushed back to 2027. If the quarterback's not there that you love, you don't just keep forcing it. You find ways to make it work outside of that. And this is the one thing that, I, in some degree, I actually trust Andrew Berry, because they are so just, you know, basically value-driven when it comes to the draft that, hey, I might really like a guy, but I'm not going to draft him in the first round because I think I can get him in the second round. I'll take that risk of him being gone. If I think he's going to fall to, you know, pick 36, I'm going to wait until pick 36 to take him on the idea that maybe I do miss him. And maybe I do, you know, just miss on the opportunity to have that player that I think is there, but I like the value better for other positions. Well, that shouldn't change with quarterback. You should still feel value-driven if that's the way that you feel in every other single draft class at every other single position. I can't just look at a Shador Sanders that goes out there, especially if he's winning football games, especially if he's putting up decent performances, and just go, yeah, you just move on from him, though, because you drafted him in the fifth round. Skipping on a quarterback provides you all of the opportunity in the world to miss out on the idea that, hey, we have to use a pick on quarterback. No, you also need wide receiver help. You need offensive line help. You could use a free safety. I don't know. Maybe there's probably not going to be one that high on the board that you really want. But, hey, maybe in the first round or, you know, later in the first round or in the second round, you want to look at a free safety. All those things are available to you, and you probably need to take multiple offensive linemen, or you need to, you know, sign an offensive lineman, draft an offensive lineman, potentially, you know, two from that category. There's a ton of places you need to rebuild this offense. It's not a finished product. If you're being given the opportunity for an offense that still might not be that great this year, you know, upcoming next year in 2026, I'd imagine it's not going to be fantastic. Even if you hit right on a rookie quarterback, how often do we see rookies just step in and be absolutely incredible? Yeah, Jaden Daniels did it. Congratulations. Drake May was not winning a ton of football games, didn't have the talent around him to do it. Still don't know that the Browns would have the talent around whatever quarterback they throw out there next year to look absolutely phenomenal. Next year, yeah, is it great if you win a Super Bowl? Is that what you're chasing every single year? Of course it is, but should it be the expectation that you go out there and all of a sudden you nail the quarterback and you're going to be Super Bowl bound? No, it's far from that. You still have a lot of places to build. We highlight the fact that you don't have a wide receiver one, which is much harder to find than people are making it out to be. You also really don't have like a wide receiver three. I mean, I like Cedric Tillman. I'm not sure that's the guy that you want to have there. I'm not sure that's a done deal evaluation. Wouldn't be mad if he's your wide receiver three, but you could certainly get better in that spot. Who knows what's happening with Njoku, and this offense needs two tight ends if Kevin Stefanski is here. A lot of things that you have to figure out. Not like you have a boatload of first-round picks to do it. You have a couple. If you don't have to use one on the quarterback spot, you shouldn't. So if Shador goes out there and plays well, and he gets the final seven games and shows you something that feels like there's a franchise quarterback lurking under there, yeah, I'd be pretty inclined that if I don't have my number one guy, I just ride it out with Shador. Like, if the number one quarterback doesn't fall into my lap, and I'm not really looking, in that case, to trade up capital if Shador looks good, and at least more draft picks to go get that guy, then yeah, I'm just going to roll it back with Shador Sanders. 216-474-0092. Can Shador stop the Browns from taking a quarterback in 2026? Greg, I see on the line. We'll get to you coming back here in 5 minutes as well. Is get a grip, as we always do, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. and a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.